interesting things for today.
Oh, Peter, go ahead.
Well, I guess the I was watching a hangout you did. I think it was posted on Tuesday the 19th, and it was just with one lady. I don't remember her name, but you were talking to her about how you were developing a I guess like a template or a protocol for how to access heaven and how to go up, and you know, giving people more some more guidelines, and then even I think you said something like you're finding a lot of people they're going up, but they're not getting the whys and the wherefores of why are you doing it and what are you supposed to do when you're there and what does that mean in relation to us here. So I was just wondering more about that because that's one of the things in our group Wednesday, you know, that we just had last night that everybody's very interested in, and so I told him about what I saw, and I was like excited, telling him, "Yeah, Mike's gonna have something real soon."
Okay, yeah. Right. Well, yeah, I've been working on pulling together some guidelines or helpful things into these sort of two pathways. And you know, what I've been looking in it is to see this pathway of relationship. And in that pathway of relationship, that's where we engage with God on the inside of us, build our spirit, connect our spirit back to heaven, connect our spirit back to God, connect our spirit and soul, connect our spirit to the world around us. So it's reconnecting all the things that have been disconnected because of lots of things in the history of mankind, but also in our pasts. So when we get born again, you know, our spirit becomes alive and it gets reconnected to God. But how that gets reconnected and the fact that God is on the inside of us and our spirit can relate through that first love gate, I think a lot of people just become a Christian and they think God's in heaven and they speak to him because he's up there and not realizing, hey, we're a house of God and that God is with us and he's in us. And therefore, it's so intimate that he is with us wherever we are, and we can connect with him wherever we are as we walk around in our daily life. But we also need our spirit to become edified and to become mature so that the spirit can then bring the rule of God, joined to God, to our soul. Because our soul has obviously been used to doing its own thing. And it needs bringing back into order, and we can do that through the gateways and that area, but also there are other ways of doing that as well. And so a lot of this stuff is then, once I can connect up with the real presence of God on the inside of me and look to develop that within my soul, in the garden of my heart, then I can establish intimacy where I can learn how God speaks to me, how he shows me things, how he communicates, so that I can develop a flow of revelatory connection with him. So prayer not being something I do, it's just something that we have together, me and God, in relationship. So it's flowing of life. So he's going to reveal things to me and show me things, but I'm going to receive that just really, really easily. So that it's a relationship which just grows and develops and outworks very much along those lines. So I found that a lot of people want to jump into the heavens, but without having developed a pathway through them, there is no gateway for heaven to manifest through their lives because they're having experiences, but those experiences aren't actually looking to outwork in any way practically, because we just don't realize how this flows and how it functions. And also realizing that we have to understand ourselves. So understanding our redemptive gift and how we're wired up, and understanding how how God does communicate with us, so that we can discern his voice and see what he's saying and interact with him in an instant, automatic way, rather than us having to think about it, actively try and stop it, because we've developed such an intimacy that, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. And so we want that joining where we connect up with him and become that flowing with him together, like Jesus did. He was able to just allow the Father in him to do his work through him as a channel of that. He cooperated with it, so he saw what the Father's doing. Therefore, he was confident in doing what he was doing because he knew it was the Father's will, and that Father's will was what his food was. That was what gave him fulfillment and satisfaction in a total spiritual and whole sense. And so he developed that relationship. And so the pathway I've been looking to develop really is to engage, bringing reconnection to all these parts, so that we can learn how to do that, and we then begin to flow in it. And then once we've established that relationship pathway, which then connects up to the garden in our own heart with the garden that's in heaven, Eden, the garden of God, it connects up the river of life, which can be flowing in our own heart, back to the river of life that's flowing in heaven. Of course, that's connected to the tree of life, which is our source. It's connected to the throne of grace, which is also a source of strength, help, grace, mercy, whatever we need. But again, most people have been disconnected with it, thinking, well, it's just me praying and God will hear from his throne of grace and then he'll answer me. But rather than actually, it's a real place and I can go there. And so it's reconnecting us back into engagement with those sources in a real way, rather than it being a theoretical way. So when we drink the living water that Jesus gives us, it isn't just a theoretical thing, it's a real thing. And so we're engaging with the real source of life, the real river of life, and that's beginning to flow. So, I've been looking to prepare that pathway, and what I'm looking to do is then tie that to the exercises that you can do to develop the different parts of that pathway. And so think of it as a journey. You have to make preparations for the journey. So initially you have to build your spirit to learn how it sees and connects, so that you're ready to engage on this journey. And the ways in which, exercises to do that would be praying in tongues on the inside, on the outside, praying in tongues while meditating on a picture in the Word or while speaking the Word out loud, so that we're learning to operate in dual realms. So our spirit and our mind and our body can be all operating, and we're not interfering with one another, we're operating together. So you practice those things, like practicing praying in tongues whilst meditating, so that your spirit is active in the process of meditating, can communicate what God is saying through the meditation, and then you understand what God's saying and you can flow. And in that process, then learning to meditate is the key element to it. So we learn that very simply by starting in the Word of God. And so we take a passage, we start to speak it out to ourselves, think about it. Then as we begin to think about it, let the flow of God's thoughts come so that he can tell us his thoughts and give us revelation about that passage. That can become foundational experiential knowledge rather than intellectual knowledge by studying or even listening to a sermon. Basically, we can get God speaking to us directly. And in speaking to us directly, then we build up, this is how I hear God. And so I learned to do that around certain scriptures that I spent a long time in, sometimes weeks, in a scripture, just allowing the Spirit of God to feed me on it, to give me truth, revelation about that scripture, purely for the benefit of my soul, my spirit, not so I would have a message to go and preach and, because I sort of do a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching and stuff. But this was personally for me. So I was feeding my spirit with the truth and in the process learning to discern how God's thoughts interacted with my thoughts and how I could discern his voice. And so all that was sort of preparation. And then, then activating our imagination, the eyes of our heart, to be able to begin to, again, to perceive and sense what God is wanting to show us. And that may be our imagination, maybe visual, and we can all visualize that, so we can practice by looking at something natural and then visualizing that in our imagination, so we can take something familiar, like our front door or anything that we're familiar with, and just begin to practice being able to see that on the eyes of our heart rather than our natural eyes. Now, of course, everything takes place within our head. You know, everything, our visual sight, our hearing. We don't hear with our ears. We don't see with our eyes. We see in our head. They are just the entrance points for the signals to come. Well, we also need to pick up where our imagination is connected up to God, and so the signals come from the inside and project on that screen so that we can get visions and pictures and dreams that come from God, that He uses the eyes of our heart, our imagination, to see. And if we train ourselves, we can develop to be more right-brained and intuitive and creative in seeing, but it takes some time. And sometimes, because of people's experiences in the past, they have had damaging things said to them in childhood, or you know, they've been brought up in a very logical way to not value creativity and value that side. So you may have to overcome some obstacles, but I don't think anyone would have probably had any more obstacles than I had, being very, very analytical and left-brained and scientific. You know, I trained myself through practice and through meditating in the Word to become more visual, and then I began to use the Word as a doorway and an access point into real encounter with God. So I would begin to picture, say, Jesus talking with His disciples, and then I would begin to think about, well, okay, it would be great if I was there and able to hear what He was saying. And then one day I found myself there, and He looked at me, and I was quite surprised, and I thought, He can see me. And He started to talk to me, and I was engaging in the situation. And I was having an encounter with Jesus because I was visualizing what it was like for Him to talk to His disciples, and He broke into that vision and spoke to me. And I saw Him speaking, so I just could see the whole scene. So, but I spent some time growing that and developing it and practicing so that my senses were more in tune with how the voice of God, the thoughts of God, the heart of God were revealed. And so that essentially is all preparation for the journey. And if you don't do the preparation, then when you enter into the journey, you're struggling to see where you're going and what it's about. So it's worth preparing well for this journey and spending time getting the basic principles in place in our lives so that we can connect and begin to hear, sense God. And as I grew that from beyond the visual into developing how my spirit sees, so opening the eyes of my spirit, so we've got three eyes, our natural eyes, the eyes of our heart, and the eyes of our spirit, my spirit began to communicate with me about what was around me in the spiritual realms by a flow of knowing. It wasn't visual. It was just a flow of how I would describe description that became a visual thing because I could describe it, although I'm not seeing it as a picture. And so I learned to develop that as I was on this journey and process. And so looking into the realm of the Holy Spirit that's around us, we pick up words of knowledge and distinguishing of spirits and words of wisdom and that type of thing, prophecy. And we're all probably familiar with looking into that realm. And the Holy Spirit then gives us revelation of what's around. So He shows us a prophecy for a particular person or a situation or a church meeting. And so we develop being able to pick up those signals. It's just there are other dimensions around us that we can also connect to. So the personal angelic realm, the angelic realm which is around people and their personal angels and the atmospheres and the colors and the fragrances and the frequencies they give off from their life, discerning that. And then looking into the general sense of what is going on in the angelic realm, where we see different angels, different categories of angels, where we see portals opening up from heaven, where we can begin to see how this realm and that realm overlaps, You know, and sometimes they get very, very close to overlapping, and there's this really strong connection between heaven, and you begin to pick up the sounds of heaven and the frequencies of God's presence, and you begin to sense things that you may not have done before. Now that, for me now, I can describe that because I've practiced tuning into it. Now I can turn that on and off because I've practiced a lot. And you can't go around with it on all the time because it just gets really confusing because all these signals are coming. So I do it when I feel it's right to do it. I don't do it at other times, but I've practiced. So all that stuff basically just develops the resources we need to go on this journey. And then once you start going on the journey, then you can follow the pathway through. Which, you know, so I'm then looking to develop the pathway. The first key encounter on that pathway is the first love gate, because that's where Revelation 3:20, Jesus is knocking, saying, let me in. Handles on our side. We have to open that door to let him in. And when we let him in, what we're doing is basically saying we're surrendering our life to the lordship of Jesus. You are Lord of my life today. I surrender what I'm doing to you, so direct me and lead me. And another way of looking at it, what I do practically, is I want to be yoked to Jesus. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, you know, all those who are weary and heavy laden, because they're doing their own things and carrying their own burdens, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. So there's this process of learning to be gentle and humble in heart, which is about knowing who I am and knowing my identity as his child, his son, knowing my rights of sonship, and all that stuff comes out of being close to him and joined to him. And so he then says that his yoke is easy and his burden's light. So as I develop that sensitivity of being connected to him in that way, I then begin to understand, if I'm feeling heavy, or if things aren't peaceful, or things aren't easy, then, okay, why? And so then I can begin to discern, okay, there's something going on here. Is this something in my own soul? Is there an area which God wants to work on? Have I done something that I've not realized? You know, have I sinned and I've not understood it? You know, various things that can bring those type of senses to be heightened. So I'm more aware and more conscious of what I'm feeling and how that connects to the spiritual dimension around me. So if people are trying to curse me or put vows and say negative things, I can pick that up as a sense of heaviness or oppression in the realm around me, because I'm yoked to Jesus and I'm sensitive, because I should not be feeling heavy and I should not be feeling burdened and I should not actually be in any way feeling uneasy. Because joined to him, he's love and joy and peace and all those wonderful things and attributes of his character. That's how I should be feeling. So I become more sensitive to understand just where the enemy might be looking to bring oppression, where anything might be going on in that realm, and that will help in this journey as well, because then I begin to become more in tune to pick up the signals and the signs that how things are and how I am, so that I can just function and flow in that. So I do that every day. I just connect up. I just surrender myself to him. I choose to yoke myself to him, and I want him to lead me. And that becomes, again, I'm close to him. I'm learning to listen, to feel, to sense what he's wanting me to do, say, think. And so I'm building up this relationship, which is going to bring me to be also gentle in heart and humble in heart. And gentleness is not meekness in the sense of weakness, it is strength under control. And the Greek word is really the word for when a horse is broken and bridled, then he's under the rider's direction. And so I can be a wild stallion full of power and awesome abilities, but I've surrendered that to my rider, if you like, who's going to direct me. So I surrender who I am only to bring glory to God and not to do anything for my own ends or own purposes. So I'm gentle, but also humble. And humble is not, oh, poor me, I'm nobody. Humble is saying, I know who I am as God's son, and I accept what God says about me. regardless of what anyone else says, regardless of what my past may have said, God says this. He says, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I will fulfill my destiny. He has a plan and purpose for me. So I believe that, and therefore that enables me to function in humility, which is just humbling myself under his mighty hand so that he can exalt me and use me for his purposes wherever he sees fit to do it, because I've surrendered to do things his way. So I'm working sort of this pathway through at the moment and beginning to look at these things, and the first love gate is the key, because that is where you begin to sense his presence. You begin to sense the river of life flowing into you. You can get in that river of life within your spirit. You can begin to engage with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and learn to discern which one you're engaging with and how it feels to be with the Father and how it feels to be with Jesus, because they're so different. And how it feels to be with the Holy Spirit. You know, I love being around the Holy Spirit because he's such fun. You know, he loves to take me places and show me things and bring creative things to me. You know, so, you know, that whole process is really begun to function because I've practiced a lot. I daily do that. I open that. I'm looking for intimacy. And therefore, I'm just looking for, where should I go from here? You know, so I'm looking to sense, what does God want me to do? Do I want to go in my garden? Do I want to just sit at his feet? Do I just want to hang out with him and talk with him because he's got stuff he wants to share with me? Actually, I may have some stuff I want to share with him. It's like, okay, you know, this thing's going on in my life right now, or that. I want your perspective on that. So I learned to discern that. Now, at the place where I am, and I've developed the other pathway that goes into the heavens for the rulership side of things and taking responsibility, sometimes I go directly from engaging him there to stepping into the heavens and going on my mountain or going into a court, because I've just learned now to pick up where the signals are. And, you know, my first inclination is always to spend time with him in my garden. And I begin to hang out with him there as he comes through that first love gate. And I just try to pick up, okay, what am I feeling? You know, what am I sensing here? And that sort of just grows and develops. As the more I do it, you know, the easier that becomes, the easier it is to feel and sense what he wants me to do and then outwork that. So that's the beginnings of the pathway, really, of developing the relationship. Now, that then goes to opening up our gateways, so engaging with God in our gateways to understand how they function in us. Because, you know, I didn't want to make an assumption that just because I understood what the words meant, prayer, fear of God, you know, reverence, hope, revelation, intuition, worship, those words, I didn't want to presume that I knew what that meant in me as a gateway. So I took Jesus to stand in those gateways, and I asked him to give me revelation of what they meant. And then, you know, I cut out the gateways picture with the wheel. I cut it out, photocopied it four times, pinned it together so I could turn the first love gate to line up with reverence, to line up with conscience, to line up with my eyes, so that I would see what happened when reverence operating in my spirit touched my conscience, and then that would direct me and guide me and protect me into what I would see or not see. And that became something that opened my eyes to begin to flow positively from the inside out, but also protected me and said, don't look at this stuff on the outside, because you do not want that influence in your soul and your conscience, so don't look at it. And then my conscience became sharper because I developed those senses. And then I looked at all those. You know, how did revelation, you know, first love line up with revelation? How did that line up with my imagination? And how did that line up again with my eyes and my ears and my senses? And so I just began to engage with Jesus, get him to show me, because I'd learned how to pick up his thoughts and how to discern what he was saying to me, just learned to pick it all up. And of course, I journaled all this stuff, wrote it all down, and then I was able to go back afterwards and revisit it and just see, okay, how would that affect how I hear, or how would that affect in this area what I would touch or taste or what I would speak? Because the mouth is not just what comes in, it's what goes out. So it's like I take things in, I taste them, but actually I speak through my mouth. So it's about how I would speak, what words I would speak. And those words, if it's coming from my faith gate, that would then be activated in terms of words of faith, and I could speak words of healing or words of wholeness to somebody, because it's flowing from the source that's on the inside of me, because I've looked to develop those things with him, so that I'm in tune. I can directly flow things through them. Now I'm at a point where I don't really need to think about, well, which gate needs to operate to get this to go. I'm just in tune with it. So it's actually, if I need a word of knowledge, or I need some scriptures, or I need something to speak over someone's life, I can just activate drawing from the inside and getting what God wants me to do or say. So I'm becoming more sensitive to what does he want me to do in this situation? And so I can be very much connected up to, you know, what is the Spirit of the Lord doing in this situation, because I'm in tune with him much more. Now, obviously, it takes time to develop this. It doesn't happen instantly. But the more we do it, and now all those gateways are open for me. I don't have to go and do that anymore. Sometimes I go and check it out and just make sure there's nothing hindrance in the way. But, of course, you know, if we do come across a gateway that when we sense it, we feel I can't get through this gate, or there's a blockage, it's not open, what the problem is, then again we can ask God to show us, okay, what's the issue here? Is this an issue of sin? Is this an issue of hurt, damage from the past? Is this a mindset or a stronghold or a blockage that would hinder me flowing in this area of my life? Where did it come from? How do I get rid of it? Is it a familiar spirit that's seeking to hinder me operating in this way? You know, I can just ask those questions. I can begin to flow in that revelation, and I can just begin to sense all these things. Now, you know, that took me a few weeks to do that, of constant work. You know, probably some people it would take more than that. But because I've done it, I was able to do it in a few weeks, where Ian Clayton took a few years to do it. Maybe people can do that in a few days, if they're, or a shorter period of time, if they're really willing to pursue it and take the revelation and walk Jesus through it. So that he gives us the information that we need, and he shows us how things work. But getting all those gateways flowing is a key, because we have to see the river of life flowing out like it did in the original garden. It split into four rivers and flowed out to water the earth. We have to see that river that's in us not be stagnant and becoming a reservoir, but actually it begins to flow so that we have rivers of living water. According to John 7, Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, because you'll have rivers of living water flowing from your innermost being. Talking about the spirit. So it's our spirit connected up to that river of life that can begin to manifest around us and change our atmospheres and begin to change the circumstances of our life around us, because we're manifesting those positive things where people can, like with John, Peter it was, who his shadow healed people. Well, why did his shadow heal people? Because he had his spirit creating an environment around him that people could just engage with by his shadow touching them, or the sense of his glory was manifested on the outside of him, if you like, to touch people's lives and to bring healing and wholeness. You know, so that is really the initial part of the pathway, you know, and I've obviously got lots of things there. Once you there engaging the garden of your heart and looking to how to cultivate that and tend it. So there's exercises around there, planting seeds of testimony and watering the seeds, speaking life to them so that they will grow and produce fruit that we can go back and partake of, that will enable us to engage in those things more easily in the future. Give that testimony away to someone else so someone else can engage it. So learning to bring the things that we experience in our lives, in our encounters with God, into our garden to create the environment, so the things I've experienced in heaven, I begin to tend and cultivate in my garden, so that my heart becomes a reflection of what it's like in heaven, so that my heart can be sensitive to the same sort of things as it is in heaven. And I'm looking to create heaven on earth in me, so that heaven on earth can be manifested through me, because my life is a gate of heaven. Now, I'm only in the early stages of this, and you know, I've got a lot still to do, and God's still got a lot of work to do in me, but I'm pursuing it, you know, and it's the desire of my heart to pursue the things of my destiny so that I will be able to outwork everything God's got so that my scroll can match my destiny scroll, and I'll get a good, well done, good and faithful servant, you know, eventually when I get to face God in eternity. But we all have to do this now. This is our time for preparation. If we don't take the time now, then eternity will be spent in the outer courts. And I don't want to spend my eternity in the outer courts. You know, I don't want to be one of those who Jesus sort of says, well, you know, I did this for you, I did that, I prophesied, I did this, I cast out demons. And he said, well, I didn't really know you. Now, he wasn't really saying he didn't know us as a person. What he was saying is, your scroll of destiny does not match up with your scroll of life. Therefore, I don't really know who you are, because you never outworked and fulfilled who you should have been. And therefore, you've not been faithful here with the small things I've given you. Therefore, I can't entrust you with those cities and illustrative things that were rulership things in the age to come. And so it's really important that we embrace our destiny here and begin to outwork it, so that then leads us on into the things we'll be doing in eternity. And I don't want to miss out on that. So I'm willing to put in the time and pay the cost of whatever it takes to develop my senses, my spirit, my heart, my engagement with him in relationship, so that I will be ready to take the responsibility of rulership and to be manifested as a son, you know, and all, you know, going through the process of friendship with him to lordship, where we're given thrones and mountains to administer the kingdom from, into kingship, where we get to operate in the judicial system of heaven, into sonship, where we've got access to all the things that Jesus had access to. But we have to do the groundwork to prepare us for those things. And, you know, people hear the teaching that Ian does and other people, and it's great stuff, and it's inspirational, and it's like, yeah, I want to do that. But you can't just jump into it. You know, Ian's taken 30 years to get where he is. And it we don't have to take 30 years, but it may take a few years to be able to really build up those things. And if we're not willing to pay the same sort of cost that he was willing to pay, then we're unlikely to gain the same benefits that he's got and the rewards that he's operating in, because he's paid the cost. You know, and that's been a personal cost of time. You know, you have to put energy and effort into it. You have to discipline yourself. Maybe you have to deny yourself from doing things that other people would do, because actually you want to spend more time with God developing the things of God. And that's a choice that he gives us to make, because we have free will to choose whether we're going to follow our destiny or follow the pathway of the knowledge of good and evil and do it our own way. And God allows us that choice because that's the dignity and the respect and the honor he has for us, and he's created us to be those who are not robots, but those who have choice to choose, and he wants us to choose to love him and to follow him and to outwork those pathways and those relationships. And so, you know, that's really some of the things I'm developing around that pathway. And, you know, I will look to try and tie it to specific exercises and things which will enable people to then practice and function in it and grow better, if that's an answer to your question. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Yeah, thank you very much. That helps a lot. So when will you have some of that together? Or I guess I can give people this video. That's a good start.
Yeah, it's a starting point. Yeah. I mean, I've got a basic outline on paper, and I'm trying to put it together in a sort of a flow chart type of thing, and so that people will then be able to link to the exercises, which will be in another sort of sheet, so that people can just follow this through and look to outwork it and develop it somewhat.
Is it something that's going to be available online, or how are you going to... you have it on your website, or how will that work?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably make it available to people who want it. Some of it will be when I've got it together in a format that I think people will be able to understand. Because at the moment, it's basically a series of statements and things which I understand, and probably a couple of our groups here that have gone through this process with me, they would sort of understand what I'm saying, but I want to make sure that it's in a format that anybody could understand, wherever stage they are. So I've got to try and word it so it makes it simple. I'm not trying to try and use jargon or things that people might not understand. And so that's going to take me a little bit longer than I would like, but I want to do it so that it's going to work for people. And once I'm happy with it, then yeah, I'll make it available. And yeah, people will be able to download it and stuff.
I guess, like, when you take people through this, I mean, is that something you could do with us or kind of start that process? Yeah. Or are there some questions that you can kind of throw at us to, you know, just kind of help us understand where we are, how we engage? You know what I'm saying? Like, are there questions that... What questions would you ask us to kind of pull out or draw out where we are?
Okay. Well,
if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, some of it would be just finding out where you are in the preparation stage. You know, how are you clear on how you see? Have you developed meditation so that you can get a flow of thoughts, that you may be able to see things visually? You know, so it's really, some of it is just doing an inventory. Where am I? You know, can I switch my spiritual eyes on and see in the angelic realm around me? Well, if the answer is no, then obviously we've got to do some work. If the answer is, you know, have you developed the garden of your heart? Have you planted things there? Do you spend time sitting in green pastures, lying down with Jesus, listening to him, engaging with him in the river of life? Are you doing those basic things? Because that's where you're going to develop being able to see and feel and sense his presence. So some of the things would be, you know, where are people in the process and in the journey? And just because someone has had a vision in heaven and they've had an encounter doesn't mean that they're able to engage in these things. Because often we have lots of encounters. Sometimes we're in worship, and sometimes God gives us forerunner experiences in which we experience something, then it's like, whoa, where am I now? For me, you know, I had an encounter in I think 2009, where I went into heaven, I experienced it, I wrote it down, it was a first-person experience, an awesome experience, but I didn't know how to go back. I was frustrated for another 2 years not knowing how to go back there. And I tried to do the things that other people were teaching, it just didn't work. Because I needed to develop a more sensitivity to in my spirit to be able to discern things. So I began to develop the more visual side of things, trying to begin to see and to engage in meditation around the word, to picture it rather than just get the flow of thoughts. I already had developed the flow of thoughts quite strongly, so I could sense when God was speaking to me as that flow of thoughts through his word or in other situations, but I hadn't developed the visual side of it as much, and so I had this encounter which spurred me on. And so I began to do boot camps about prophetic boot camps here, how to begin to see, you know, how to get words of knowledge, and we did lots of crazy exercises, you know, getting people stand behind people and that person prophesy over them and blind so they didn't know who it was, and we just practiced a lot and did a lot of things. Well, you know, so I would just look at, you know, where are you now, and then you can look at what are the areas I need to really beef up on. So what do I need to practice? So if I'm struggling seeing, then maybe I need to look at developing, opening the eyes of my heart through my imagination. So I do the imagination exercises. You know, I look at natural things, then I look at them and try and see them in the spirit. I look at the word and I begin to try and see it and picture it. You know, that's one area. You know, if I'm struggling with sensing the flow of thoughts, then I need to practice that area. So I would look at the word of God and meditating on the word and just begin to feel the sense of flow that comes. So it's learning to understand what are our strongest senses. Because I think go with your strongest senses. Don't try and spend masses of time developing all of it, because I think they'll begin to grow and develop as you just use them. You know, and as you use one, the other ones begin to develop as you use them. So it's sort of, okay, what are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? identifying them and going with our strengths and looking to build up the flow. And then when we're on the journey, you know, because I mean, I can take you on the journey and we can go and we can open the first love gate, and I've done that with other people, which is great if you're in a place where that's something you can do. But, you know, I took people through praying in tongues inside and out, just picturing things, simple things, doing little meditation exercises like, you know, okay, you're walking on a beach and you know, the wind's blowing in your hair and you're feeling the soft sand under your feet. And, you know, and then you're walking up to the water's edge and Jesus is standing there walking towards you and he comes and just hanging out exercises. A lot of sort of Psalm 23 exercises, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So I practiced a lot lying down in green pastures with him. I would just lie down physically. You know, I've got a reclining chair thing, so I just sort of lay out, stretch out, and I just say, I'm lying in a green pasture. You know, so some of the questions would really be, you know, do I understand myself where I am so that I can look to engage and do the preparation that's going to make the journey so much easier. You know, if you've got a store of a pack of food on a long journey, then you're not going to have to stop and try and find it because you're going to have the resources you need. And so I think knowing what the basic preparation resources are so that you know where you are will help. And then really it's a matter of just looking to engage, you know, and that would be just practically doing some of the exercises and engaging with it, you know, which, you know, I mean, I did one with Peter the other week in terms of, you know, because he'd been on a mountain but hadn't yet sort of got a throne and a crown and all those things. So, you know, I was able to take an experience that he'd already had and then enable it to go a bit further. And some of it is if you hang around somebody who's done it, the frequency that they carry sort of rubs off. You know, and you sort of it sort of activates things easier. So yeah, that would be where I would start with people, just finding out where they are and then looking to engage them, because it's in a sense I wouldn't want to try and do some really almost advanced exercises of trying to see the angels around people when people hadn't even learned to see and picture their door of their first love gate and open it, because you'd be asking people would be frustrated because, you know, they wouldn't be able to do it. You know, so there's a journey and a process to it. That, you know, I feel God's been saying to me is actually put this in a pathway so that you don't jump here and jump there and jump everywhere else and just do unconnected exercises, which may be good fun and people might have great experiences, but won't really necessarily help in the journey. And so, you know, that's really why I'm trying to put this stuff together really at the minute. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I'm experiencing a lot more, I think, just from, I think the impartation has been really good. So, and especially I think where this really works out in your life is when you have challenges. Yeah. You know, just practically, are you walking in the kingdom? Are you experiencing the kingdom in the midst of challenges in your life? And so I've kind of been experiencing that, and it's been really good.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking for now, okay, what now are the next step of developing, you know, seeing really more. So I got some ideas about, you know, how to go forth. So that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Sure. Okay. Have you got anything, Peter, to add to that, or do you want to ask anything?
No, that was excellent. Yeah, and in fact, I think I'm going to send out this this video to everybody so they can watch it. One other thing that has come up in the last few weeks is the whole question of deception. You know, we're going into areas here that have been, you know, most of the church has called it, you know, second heaven or witchcraft or you know, you're getting deceived, the angel of light, you know, all of those kinds of things. How do we, or what would be your answer, Mike, to how do we differentiate, how do we, well, first of all, how are we protected that we know that we aren't treading into something that we shouldn't be, or you know, is not that we aren't being deceived? You know, I mean, this stuff is all very enticing, and I love it, and you know, I want to jump in all gung ho, you know. But how do we know we're not going off?
Okay, well, I mean, there's various things. A, we have to have greater faith in God to protect us and give us revelation than faith in the enemy to deceive us. Because if you're operating in fear, then you're open for deception, because fear is an access point for the enemy. So if we're afraid of these experiences or supernatural things, then that in itself will give the enemy an access point to block it or to try and deceive us. So we've got to be in faith that this is what God wants. So I use some basic scriptures just to give me a foundation for everything I do. So, okay, going into heaven, no, you can't do that. Okay, well, let's find some scriptures where people did. So if there's a precedent in the Word, then you can build and use that in a faith sense to give you the security that this is okay, rather than, well, is this okay? I'm really doubting. Is unbelief. Well, if you're operating in doubt and unbelief, then it's very easy for doubt and unbelief to cloud what you see and for the enemy to try and get you off track. So I've got greater faith in God's protection than I have in the enemy's deception, because my spirit has spent a lot of time with God, and so I'm very sensitive to his character, what he's like, and I've got a big deposit of the Word of God in me, so that when something is contrary to the Word, I know that it's not God. I know there are lots of things that God does and encounters that we're having that are not specifically in the Word, but none of them are contradictory to the Word. So everything will have to line up with the truth. So, you know, where it says take captive every thought and bring it into captivity to Christ, then anything I do, I'm looking to actually bring that process and say, does this line up with A, the Word of God? And so is there a precedent in the Word of God for this? Does it line up with the character and nature of God that I know? So I know God's a God of love, so I know he's not going to call me to go and kill somebody, you know, or he's not going to cause me to do anything which is contradictory to his heart and his ways. So, you know, I want to, you know, the children of Israel knew God's works, but Moses knew his ways. And so the more time we spend with him, and the more time we fellowship with him in the Word, and the more time we fellowship with him in our life, the more sensitive we get to know that is the heart of God. When I see something, I can see God's fingerprints on it, because I know that's God. And my spirit then develops with my conscience this sense of peace. And so I don't do anything unless I feel peaceful about it. And I know my spirit connects with things from a sense of peace. And sometimes I read some things that people have said, and I look at some encounters that people have had, and my spirit's not in peace about it. And I'm thinking, okay, I just need to weigh that. You know, is that actually God? Or actually, maybe it is, but actually it's outside of my grid of reference, so I need to go and seek him about it and ask him specifically. But all that sort of process will keep us protected. And if the motives of our heart are right, then that also protects us. Because if our motives in doing this is for selfishness, or we just want to have experiences for experience's sake, and we're not looking to bring glory to God, but actually maybe we're looking for these things to make us feel better, you know, and sometimes you know, ask, why am I sharing this experience? Am I sharing this experience with somebody to bless them, to encourage them, or actually am I sharing it so they'll think I'm really good and I'm great and you can do all this and wow, you're brilliant? And so you constantly check the motives of your heart, that you're not trading into a wrong trading floor, that you're not using that stuff to promote yourself or any of those things. So in in building our relationship with God, we've got to be confident that he will show us. If we're going off track or if there's something, that he will show that in our spirit. Now, obviously, the more mature you get, the easier that becomes. But we've got to teach people how to do it. So we've got to teach people, be sensitive to your spirit. So as I was saying earlier, if I'm feeling that there's a bit of weight on me or there's a bit of heaviness, I become sensitive to what is causing that. And then I'm open to go and find out and outwork it. So personally, I think a strong religious spirit will try and stop us getting into this stuff because they do not want us to engage in our destiny in heaven because they know we will be able to clear the atmospheres, clear the airwaves, open everlasting doors, see heaven manifested on earth, and that we would operate in our heavenly rulership, which is where they want to rule because they think we're on their patch because we're created in the realm of the spirit. And when Satan saw that man was going to bring the rule of God into the heavens and not the angels, and the angels were basically there to serve us and minister to us, he didn't like it. And therefore, that was one of the motivations to do what he did. Because he saw our destiny, and it took over what he thought should have been his. And so a lot of these things, if we're open and willing to submit them to other people as well, people we trust, not people who are going to be, you know, oh, that's rubbish and that sort of stuff, but people we know that are seeking God themselves, that we can submit things and we can say, look, what do you think of this? Because this seems to be a bit of a way out experience, but what do you think? You know, and if people say that to me, I get this sense of, hey, yeah, that's a symbolic thing of this, or yeah, that's an open in there. So, you know, part of that is to be willing to submit it to someone and not be proud or arrogant or, well, I don't need to submit to anyone because my experiences are all pure. Well, we're in a journey, and therefore sometimes there is a mixture. But if we're open, then we can see sometimes God shows us something, even in the encounters, which is an indication that there's an area not right in our lives, which is great. You know, when I go into the pathway, into the realms of heaven, where I'm learning to present myself as a living sacrifice, I'm continually asking him to search my heart and show me. And so that's a constant prayer, search my heart. Now, he can show me the negative things, but also he can show me the positive things. You know, he can actually show me the positive things which are in my life. But he can also say, hey, that area still needs some work. That's an area where you need to have some more wholeness. So if we're open to the process of yielding and surrendering, then he will begin to transform and change us more and more on our journey. And we all got to realize that we're all a work in process and a work in progress. And if we're continuing to pursue God in the relationship, he'll make us more pure. And the pure in heart will see God. So the more pure in heart we are, the easier it is to see. So, you know, I don't really fear deception because I'm sensitive to it. But I'm aware that you have to weigh things and you have to be willing to go back to God and to meditate. So when I journal things, I don't try and analyze them straight away. I'll go back later and actually say, okay, what was God trying to say to me there? What did that encounter mean? You know, and so, you know, I feel that we've got to be careful that we don't let a religious demonic thing stop us engaging in what is our destiny to be in the heavens and on earth. But on the flip side of that, we just need to take it in a way which does give us opportunities of safeguarding and protection by developing peace and sensitivity. Because, you know, we need to come out of a place of rest. You know, and when everything's going around us, we still need to be in a place of rest, and that's a real help in helping to protect us, because we detect when we're not in rest. You know, and yeah, yes, it does say that Satan tries to masquerade as an angel of light. It doesn't say he succeeds. It also says he's like a roaring lion to try and intimidate. He's not a roaring lion, and he can't bite. He can make noises, but he can't bite. And so we got just let's not get in unbelief or fear over it, Because the more fearful we are, the easier it is to be deceived. The more in faith we are in God to protect us on this journey, then the easier the journey will be, and we will be able to flow on that journey as we go.
I have a question too.
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of along the same lines as deception, but it's more of a practical, like what we engage in as far as, you know, there's a lot of crossover, I think, here in the States. I don't know about over there, about, you know, energy healing and acupuncture and, you know, this kind of, there's some new things even out there that I'm questioning that a lot of people are engaging in, and Christians and practitioners even, Christians practicing these things, because there's a big movement over here about naturopathic healing and naturopathic medicine. And yeah. So I think part of the question is where's the deception there, or is there, if you have peace about it, is it okay just because you have peace, or is it something more that we should discern? I mean, there's all kinds of new things popping up, like not just acupuncture and energy healing, but like neuro-emotional technique. There's called NET. I don't know if you've heard of that. Neuro-linguistic programming. I mean, it's all about drawing out these emotional wounds and pain in a process of self-healing, they kind of call it.
Yeah.
But yet Christians are practicing this,
sure,
and leading other Christians into these methods. And so my question is, you know, because it's kind of contrary to what going into heaven, I mean, is that the counterfeit of going to heaven and experiencing, you know, because only God can really bring you to that place of opening the gateways. And so it's kind of a contradiction of that process. But is it okay to do that if that's where you are, or you sense peace about it, or is that deceptive, you know?
Well, if it's wrong, then it's wrong. End of story. But it doesn't mean that there isn't some valid truth in what's behind it, because you can only counterfeit something that's real.
Right.
You don't counterfeit something that isn't real.
That's part of the justification of it, is that there is some truth in it.
Yeah, but you've got to find the root of the truth in God and the Word, not in the counterfeit practice. Just because there may be some element of truth behind the practice does not make the practice right. So you have to discern, okay, what does God say about this? So, okay, I know there's things right now about, you know, aromatherapy and things like that. Okay, Reiki healing, there's those things. Well, some of it you have to look into the root of it and where it's from, so that you are aware that those roots will produce fruit. And so if it's very much into the root of it is developed in a Taoist or some sort of Eastern philosophy and things, and the practice of it is come out of that root, then I wouldn't want to be involved in the practice of those things. But I'm willing to look behind that and actually see, is there something in the Word, or is there something that God is revealing which will bring this into the truth and the reality of it? And so there are people, and I believe Ian and some of the other guys that are promoting Joang Mafata essential oils. There's oils and there's things in the Bible and there's plants in the Bible and things which are mentioned and used. And so they're then using those things. And in using those things, they are looking to see, okay, we're not going to do this with any occult thing, or we're not going to use any yin-yang, that type of sort of Eastern philosophy with it. We're going to go back. What does God do with this? Well, okay, God created these things, and He is showing that there are fragrances and there are frequencies that come off oils that can bring our natural body back into an alignment of wholeness, because it's messed up by the things it's eaten, or because of genetic things in our life. We need to bring it back into wholeness, and there are healing frequencies, because our body is designed to operate in a certain frequency, which brings it harmony with the world around it, and therefore certain songs and certain notes and certain musical things can help us be aligned back into frequency. Now, I'm not an expert in any of that stuff. I know that there is truth behind it, and developing the truth from a Christian perspective, I feel people are getting the revelation to do that. But that's very different from saying, just because people are using essential oils and fragrances from a Christian perspective, that it's okay to do aromatherapy or Reiki healing or any other things. Because those things very clearly are coming from an occult Eastern philosophy, and they leave a deposit of harm. I mean, it's like, I know, talking to Ian, he was able to do some stuff in his past that he now knows that when he was doing it, always left a deposit of harm and darkness. Just because something works doesn't make it right.
Right.
But just because something is wrong doesn't mean that there isn't a principle in there that isn't godly and that you can discern and you can find the truth behind it. But don't outwork the practice just because there's some truth. So we have to have discernment and looking at, you know, where is the power coming from? You know, if people are not Christians and they're operating acupuncture and all that sort of stuff, what's the motive of their heart? You know, the enemy can use them for a start to gain access to you. So, you know, there's lots of things there which potentially can cause problems, but we've got to be discerning and not just jump in and accept, oh, everything's great because some Christians are doing this and they're okay with it. We've got to be willing to be discerning and, again, talk to other people about it, submit these things to each other and actually say, okay, let's do some research into this. What is the root of this? Why are they doing it? How are they doing it? Because if they're doing it in soul power, there is the power of the soul to be able to engage these things and do it, then that is not going to be a good thing. And so to me, I would not be going to any practitioner of anything that wasn't a Christian, and I would not be involved in anything that a Christian practitioner was doing if I didn't feel that it was back to the pure source of where it came from, the word, and it was not just the thing which had developed out of the counterfeiting the truth and perverting the truth to make it look like the real, but actually it will be a negative thing, even though on first things it may appear, but it's okay. All my healing comes from God. And of course, I can engage with God personally myself, and I can, with Him, bringing healing to my soul and restoring my soul. He restores my soul, but He does it. And He may do it through other people speaking words into me. It may do it through people laying hands on me and imparting a spiritual gift of healing to bring healing and wholeness to me. Lots of ways He may do it. As I'm growing more mature, I need less of other people doing that because I've learned to engage with Him personally and engage with that myself. But in no way do I see that as I'm doing it in my own strength because I'm able to do that because of my soul. I have to connect up with the Spirit. It's not about my soul power, it's about my spirit and the Holy Spirit joined with my spirit to bring that truth and revelation and wholeness into my life. And so I would be cautioning people to be discerning, but don't just throw the whole principles out, look what's behind it. And therefore you don't jump into something, but be willing to do some research. And find out, okay, what is the truth behind this? Because I know Satan cannot create anything because he's not creative. So he has to manipulate and use what God has created to do his stuff. And so there must be some truth behind everything that's counterfeited. Now, a lot of people feel called to exploring those truths and regaining them for the body of Christ so that we're functioning the truth, so that then people can see, okay, here's what these guys in this New Age movement are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the Christians are doing. This is true. This is the truth. So we need to be able to say, don't believe this lies, because here is the truth. So if we've got no truth to say this is counterfeit, this is truth, then there is only counterfeit to look at, and people will get deceived and drawn into it because that's all there is. So we need to come up with, in the body, this is the truth. This is what God's principles are. These are in the Word. These are God's intentions. This is where you can come and receive true healing, true wholeness. You can get restored in your soul. You can get your destiny revealed. You can get your scroll unfurled so that you can begin to see what God's purpose is for your life, rather than, oh, I'm going to go to a fortune teller and they're going to read tarot cards or they're going to do that stuff. Well, we have access to engage with the prophetic word that comes out of heaven in the future to bring the truth into our life now, so we can bring the reality of that. And I know certain ministers are going into psychic fairs and they're setting up, hey, here's the truth. And they're causing people who normally operate in power to not have that power to operate, because they are emanating a field of the power of God, which is hindering them being able to operate in counterfeit things. Yeah. So, you know, there may well be things that we have to challenge the prophets of Baal and say, okay, yeah, you do it this way, but hey, I'm going to bring down fire from heaven and do it God's way. And you can pour water over my sacrifice, because God, my God, is more powerful than your counterfeit. And let's not be frightened of it. Let's look to take back the ground that's been robbed from us, so that we can operate in the true reality of it.
And I'm not surprised if this opening your gateways and that the way that you're describing and some of the pathways is would not be some of the truth that would, you know, contradict what they're doing, saying this is truth and this is not, because there's a lot of that going on, the emotional healing.
Yeah. But yeah, the closer we get to Jesus, the more time we spend with the Father, the more sensitive we will get to how they function and how they operate in our lives. And we will be less open to the deceptions that are there, because there's been this vacuum in spirituality. All those other things have flooded to fill it, because the church has basically offered nothing. Yeah. But now God is revealing and bringing the truth of spirituality, in that there is power in a relationship with God through Jesus, which is the true power, because he's the way, the truth, the life, rather than a way, a truth, a life. He is the one. And so we need to connect to with the truth. And then that will enable us to see, no, this maybe have some truth in it, but is not the truth. And we will find it much easier to discern what those things which look like the truth are when we know the real truth. So the more time we hang out with the truth, the easier it will be to discern, hey, that's a perversion of the truth.
Right.
Because we know the real person. Because it's all in a person. The truth is a person. And as we spend time with him, we get to ask him that stuff. And he'll show us. Because we will get that sense of, no, this isn't right. There's something that isn't right about this. And I get those flags up a lot of times. And so I hear people talking about certain things, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to go and weigh that with God, and then I'll make a decision. I won't make an instant decision that, okay, I'm going to judge this and condemn this. I want to go and make sure. So I'll spend the time, if it's something I feel that God is wanting me to unveil. Personally, I'm not drawn to those things myself. I do not want to be looking into the dark side of things, because if you keep looking into that size, it multiplies. So I'm not really interested in looking into the demonic realm. I'm not interested in looking into the atmosphere of the earth. Bottom line is, I send the angels to do that stuff. I'm looking into the presence of God around the ark. I'm looking to look into the light and the resonance and the frequency that's coming off him and his will and revelation, and that's enough. Now, maybe other people are called to do other things. I just personally aren't, and I do not want to be looking into a kingdom that's going to multiply negative things around me. So I want to look into the positive kingdom of God, and if there are things within that realm that I need to get rid of, then I will do it and get rid of them and take my place and push those things out to bring light back into where there's been light and darkness, because there's been mixture in the realm of the kingdom of God. There's light and darkness. But the more we come and bring light, the less the darkness can be there, because it can't stand in light, Because darkness doesn't exist, does it? It's only an absence of light. And it's only because we've had such a spiritual vacuum where the church has been operating in such in no power and no reality over generations and hundreds of years, that these things have filled that vacuum to create these things. Now we need to get and take these things back, and bring light, true light. And true light will expose that other stuff very easily. If we're willing to be manifesting light through our lives and be joined to the light and be drawn closer to the light, and any darkness in us will be exposed by the fact that we're drawn closer to the light, and nothing can hide from that closeness to the real light of God.
That's good. Thank you.
All right, no problem. Okay, well.
All right, yes.
I think it's your thanks. Giving next week.